Welcome to The Web We Weave, a podcast created by us, students in David Morgan's new media writing class at Emory University.
Each week this semester, we will explore the emerging set of protocols and cultural practices that have evolved around new technologies.
How big is this new media universe? What are its limits? Who participates in it and why? How does it spread, converge, inform, and obscure?
And is it really all that different from the old media that has been tossed aside? In this postmodern, post-structuralist, post-truth period, many critics have resisted grand narratives or stable definitions in response to such questions. So each week, we will examine one publication that seems to be doing something interesting. Over the course of these 16 episodes, we hope to untangle the narratives a bit and decide where we are now.
Today we'll be talking about a blog called Humans of New York that has now established a huge presence on multiple social media platforms. Brandon Stanton created this blog, which is comprised of photographs of random, average people on the streets of New York City.
Or in other countries he's traveling in.
Right, and a quote by the subject of that photograph. These can be light, funny, and pretty average, or they can reveal true hardships that everyday people face.
Humans of New York started off as a project to photograph 10,000 people on the streets of New York City. The founder, Brandon Stanton, actually grew up in Marietta, which is right outside of Atlanta. Originally a bond trader in Chicago, he lost his job and went on to become a full-time photographer. He then decided to take on this project, and from there, it gathered a lot of momentum.
Humans of New York now is a multimedia platform that has gained 20 million followers on social media over the past 7 years, including 6.5 million followers on Instagram, 588,000 followers on Twitter, and over 18 million followers on Facebook. However, Stanton did have to experiment a lot before finding out what makes Humans of New York as successful, intimate, and relatable as it is now.
He details some of these experiences in a few of his talks, such as the one at the University of Dublin, where he explains step by step his process of approaching people. Here is a short segment of what he said.
Atmosphere of kind of fear and strangeness and uncomfortableness, and turning that into an atmosphere of intimacy where people feel comfortable to disclose in a very short amount of time.
The ultimate challenge he faces is to shift this area of uncertainty and fear to one of comfort and intimacy. And he goes on to explain that the way he achieved that was through constant trial and error.
Within his experimentation, he struggled with trying to develop his approach, something he said in the Dublin talk, which made me realize why he's so unique compared to other bloggers and photographers, is that it has nothing to do with the word he poses. It has to do with the energy he gives off. And I mean, that's going back to what you said with this shift of the area of uncertainty and fear to one of comfort and intimacy. Especially in New York, considering I've lived there most of my life, people are super cautious and they think that there's some hidden agenda when being approached by a random stranger and asking to interact with you and take your photograph and asking all these very intimate questions that you've never seen the person, you know? Mm-hmm.
He targets random people on the streets of New York and starts off with simply asking for their photograph. But what I found interesting was that he usually looks for people sitting or standing alone. He realized that if friends are nearby, they'll play the subject up and be dishonest in their interaction. To create that level of intimacy he mentioned before, he believes that the best way to do it is one-on-one. We found out that Brandon starts off with broad questions. Once they start to open up, he hits on those very intimate moments. He likes to focus on emotions, for example, asking, what is your happiest moment? What is your saddest moment? Your most fearful moment, etc.
Or he'll ask, what is a time when? What I like about this blogger is that he's not set out to look out for a certain view or response. He really wants to interact with his subjects. He wants to get to know them, not just to fish for an answer through preconceived questions that you see with a lot of journalism. Anything that makes him laugh automatically goes on the blog, or something profound. His goal is to find something no one else said before. It's something different than opinion or philosophy. It's a story.
And I think that is what makes this blog so personal. And that's why it has so many followers. If you just see someone's quote, picture with a quote like, "I believe in equal rights," or "I love my family," it's not going to hit home with a lot of the audience. The uniqueness of the stories keeps the followers hooked.
And the way Stanton achieves accessing such personal statements is by staying as long as needed with these people so they can figure out a way to express themselves. He doesn't just stop when they're not giving him any information to work with. And I think that's what makes him so personal as a photographer and as a blogger.
Exactly. His ethos is far from traditional. It relies on the underlying relationship that there is no reason for those he interviews to lie. His ethos is formed on the relationship of trust between the reader and the producer.
We initially thought he lacked an angle by just taking pictures of random subjects, but actually he was aiming to reveal the hardship and struggles of the average person.
Yeah, and we see that with his traveling too. He usually goes to more developing countries where poverty and conflict are more obvious, such as Pakistan, Argentina, and Kenya. I wouldn't say Stanton is trying to push any agenda or propaganda onto the audience, but he has a focus on a certain demographic.
I see that for sure. In an interview, he stated he didn't want to create a divisive atmosphere on his blog. But there are certain things, such as the past election, where he believed he had this moral obligation to speak his mind because it went against all the ideals he instills in his blog, such as equality, love, and nonviolence. So his audience is going to expect a certain response. And by speaking out, he's protecting what he's created on his blog.
Although he has an angle, which is to expose hardships and struggle, he will also incorporate posts that have humor. I think he does that to re-emphasize the point that the world is not just about struggle, it's about the little things in life.
I mean, if he kept posting about struggles, it would be really depressing. And you know, with that, I completely agree. There is this one post that's my favorite. It's a picture of two old ladies in really colorful clothing and a lot of bags, and they're just sitting on a bench in New York City next to each other. And the quote that they said was, "We do not have any hobbies, but we do try to get together a few times a month to judge people and complain about things." And it's so ordinary, but it's so true. No one really admits to stuff like that, but it's refreshing to see in a post in which other people are so relatable, especially with that generation gap.
I mean, the photo in the post right there brought so much more to the quote. It revealed that generation gap you were talking about. I think Stanton's photos are an essential part of his work, along with his narrative, of course, because it brings a certain tone to his message.
And you see that with certain issues that he exposes, such as gender equality in the workforce. I'm looking at a picture right now. He was just in Argentina doing some traveling. So whenever he goes to a country, he does a whole series of photographs and blogs. And it's a police officer holding a gun. But what's more important is that she has this silver bracelet with a heart on it, and her nails are painted. And the quote is, "Even if we have equal rank, a man always tries to take charge of the situation."
The photo reminds us not to judge a book by its cover. I think we are quick to assume what one person thinks just by looking at their appearances and making a snap judgment. So what is it that Humans of New York, as a new media form, achieves that traditional media cannot?
I think Stanton takes his new media approach to the next level. Let's listen to what he says during one of his TED Talks at Columbia.
And so it's important to realize the news we hear is largely a reflection of what we find interesting, as opposed to a reflection, a representative reflection of the world in general. And so when we pick up the newspaper in the morning or turn on the television in the evening, we're not necessarily seeing a reflection of the real world. We're seeing a reflection of our interests. We're presented with a world that's more violent, more dangerous, and more sexy than the one we actually live in. And when we hear and see these stories over and over and over again, it's important to stop for a second and think about how receiving all these images of extremes are changing our perception of the real world around us.
What he is saying is that old media, television, newspaper, etc., creates an extreme non-representative image of the world that distorts our perception of reality.
Right. He wants to report on what the media leaves out, because they don't find it as interesting or worthy of a story. But keep in mind, he's not trying to say that this place, our place, is a boring, safe environment and that bad things don't happen, but rather that the media is making it more apparent than it actually is. With his work, he wants us to get back in touch with reality.
I think what really sets it apart from old media is participatory culture. Stanton does a great job incorporating that into his work, especially on his Facebook site, where thousands comment on each photo. They give their stories, their reactions, their interpretations, and share it with others. The interactivity of his audience allows its members to access others' interpretations of his work.
It's a broadening of perspective. He kind of just gives you a picture and a story, and you do with that what you will. He won't tell you how he feels about it or what his stance is. And that gives an audience the sense of responsibility as a contributor to his work. Stanton's really taking advantage of that active audience rather than just having a passive one observing it.
I think what makes his blog so successful is his followers, because if you're reading one post at a time each day, it keeps you hooked. His audience starts to develop a certain kind of loyalty to him by this consistent flow of new information. When we think of media in the information age, especially that with social media, we tend to observe the overload of information. There is simply too much for us to absorb altogether. The process that humans of New York takes, however, is an antithesis to the abundance of information. In fact, it is almost a direct counter. There is actually a limit to the amount of material that he posts every day so that people don't get bombarded with too many options. In essence, the process of controlling the amount of substance brings greater attention and value to the individual pieces of the project, such as the images or quotes. This is precisely why the format of Humans of New York in the form of social media posts is more effective than that of an all-encompassing blog post or a book.
Also, not to mention that Humans of New York is so multifaceted and accessible. There are 5 different places you can go to access his work. There's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, his website, even a book he just published a few years ago. And you know, not a lot of other media sites do that. On his website, there are multiple series published, such as stories on refugees and inmates, so you can just focus on that one specific area. His photography and his use of imagery as a way to get a point across is a huge part of his work. The centerpiece of new media is the incorporation of images.
And through that, he has the ability to tie separate elements together. So Humans of New York, as a new media project, has touched upon the integrity of human emotion and experience. With a robust and active community, Humans of New York builds an image of humanity that is at once thought-provoking and palpable.
Thank you for listening, and special thanks to our technical assistant, Ruth.